You know, in a way, life is so complicated. So many things happen, so busy, so much information, a lot to process, digest. In another way, life is kind of simple. You eat 3 meals a day, you sleep about 7 hours a day, you live. Right? And you have a house to sleep. I think you're okay. In a way, what makes our life complicated? Where does it come from? Or, I'm now father and husband, so I know kind of family, you know, their interactions, and I kind of see my relationship with my mother in a different way too. But you do have those moments like, gosh, why did I say that? I didn't mean it. Or, why didn't I really see it that way? It was so obvious. But somehow, that moment, in that situation, was not obvious. So what happened? We kind of call those moments that somehow my mind was blind. I didn't see it. It was right there, but I was not able to see it. In the Bible, as we read the Old Testament reading, if you read prophets, there's a lot about when the day comes, the Lord comes, the blind will see, the deaf will hear. And at the same time, if you read the New Testament, Jesus, how many blind men he healed? Quite many. Quite many. And in this case, somehow, those two men had to cry aloud first, actually had to be there when he was coming, and cry aloud. Jesus did not pay attention to them. See, this is intentional. They had to follow him to a house. Then Jesus is asking, like, do you believe that I am able to do this? Like, what kind of question is it? If they were not believing it, why would they follow and cry aloud? Somehow, that is necessary. Then, they were cured or healed. This blindness is something that Sri Rinpoche picks up quite big time too. And he kind of explains that blindness may be in two ways. One, ignorance. Another is falsity. Or blind person may symbolize those who are in ignorance or those who are in falsity. Ignorance is little better, in a way. Not really good, but little better. Why? At least you're not charged by what you do. Why? Your excuse that you do not know what it is you're doing. Like my child, you know, when I moved to a townhouse in June, and I was just away 2 weeks after the convention. 2 days in the convention, I called my wife, and she said, you know what happened today? She was so in panic. What? Well, my son threw a rock to the window, and it broke it. And, you know, it's a big, huge window, back door window. We just moved in. And, you know, people had to come and fix it. And, you know, that window is left, you know, empty. What happens in the night? I'm not there. All kinds of things were going through my wife's mind. But the thing is, what do I say to my son? He didn't know it was going to broke. Now he knows. Now he knows, right? He did it once. So now he knows. But we didn't really say anything to him. We just said, you know, don't do it. It breaks. He's only 5. So when you do something out of ignorance, yes, there is some space. Well, then ignorance also is kind of not really clear. What does it mean being ignorant? Does it mean that, like my son, he didn't know at all? Or does it mean that you kind of heard about it, but you didn't really know what it means? Swedenborg actually count them all as ignorance. Even if you heard about it, even if you read about it, even if you know about it, if you don't know what it really is, you're still ignorant. Like Socrates, kind of, he's one of my favorite guy long time ago. He said, I think I'm kind of wiser than those people are because those people don't know what they don't know, but I do know what I don't know. So, therefore, I'm a little wiser than they are. You know what he means here? Knowing, not knowing, knowing, not knowing. Things like that. Confucius kind of says the same way. True knowing is to say yes when you really know, to say no when you really don't know. But in order to do that, you need to be sure what really knowing is. And that's quite hard, isn't it? I mean, see, I was asking, do you have a mind? And you said yes. Do you know what's going on in your mind? Yes, no, see? How many hours and minutes per day do you know about it? How many minutes of a day are you conscious of what's going on in your mind? We're busy about actually executing things, actions, words, but how many minutes in our days that we actually are conscious of the source of our actions and words? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? We have a source in here. And kind of it's under our control. But sometimes we just let go of it. And do things that we don't really like to do. And then come back at the end of the day and say, why did I do that? Why did I do this? It's one, maybe ignorance. Another is probably not. Now, blindness, before I get into other things, next category of being blind is falsity. This one's toughy. Well, we often think, maybe, what's falsity? That's a question. What's a falsity?
Dishonesty.
Dishonesty, maybe lie. Right? Swedenborg takes falsity in a quite spiritual dimension. In order there to be a falsity, you must have truth first. Okay? If there is no truth prior, there is no falsity possible. Isn't that interesting? Then, in order there to be truth present, there should be goodness first. So you have to have something good in your mind to see the truth. And what you do with that truth now means something. Falsity is another way of saying justification for evil. So we have goodness. So the Lord gives us the truth, a piece of light from heaven to illuminate our minds so that we become better. We create maybe bigger good so that we receive more truth. Okay? Well, I have done it, so sometimes we use that piece of truth to justify my little selfish desire. I call it little, but it could be big. We do that. When that happens, what happens? The truth is becoming something else. Truth becomes falsity when it's used to justify evil or desire, that selfish desire we have. And that means I'm making myself blind. In the Swedenborg's kind of spiritual perspective and this whole picture, you know why that's really how it happens? It's because good is real, evil is not. Swedenborg is not a dualist. Like, there are forces of good and there are forces of evil and they're equally powerful. No. Swedenborg's more likely, good is real, good is real only, and evil is not real at all. Therefore, there is no fight possible between forces of good and evil. And in one of the passages, I think it's in heaven and hell or some other place, it says, one angel is good enough to stand against all power of hell. Power of good and truth are that much greater. If we have one piece of real truth that illuminates our minds and heart, that is good enough to stand against all the evils that we have, or I have. But at the same time, I can choose to use that to justify my selfish desires. That is not really real. Why is not really real? Because there's no selfishness in God. There's no selfishness in heaven. So in God's creation, when God called good, there is no selfishness. Therefore, selfishness happened by choice of human, which is us. And Swedenborg's description about us being blind is like, okay, that's light. If I turn, well, if there's no light, this is dark. Why? That's light. I turn around from the light. So what I see here is my shadow, the darkness. So, well, what makes our minds blind? In a way, it's not quite easy to say just like selfishness, because there are many other factors that blind our minds. Like, for example, biological. I think you probably, a lot of you know about brain science. And I read the development of psychology for children when my wife was taking the class and we're just having a child. So I felt, sure, I just read it. I read the whole book. And one thing I realized, you know what the first emotion that you learn in a way? Actually, second, that's fear. First emotion you learn is actually joy. But second emotion you learn is fear. And fear is where? In your limbic system, which is out of your control. That's why when you have a phobia, it's so hard to fix it. It's out of your control. So these things could also blind your mind. So there is greed, there is jealous, there is lust, there is, well, you name it. There are a lot of those emotions too. But what Swedenborg was trying to say, essentially, there are two sources that blinds our minds. One is ignorance. Do you really know what you're reading? Or do you really know the meaning of what you are saying to believe? Two could be falsity. Am I justifying anything that I do for my selfish desires? If I do that, and that portion, I'm blind. And sad news is, we go on and off on this. It doesn't get any easier. I believe most of you are probably older than I am. So, you know, there's a gym. You know, it doesn't get easier. But somehow it gets, not easier, but more manageable if you work on that direction. Your mind is more comfortable to handle them if you are handling a second time and a third time. What is it actually that when we say, I know that? I know that. According to Confucius, that means I am willing to do that. That's what it means. Lord, I believe you. That means I am willing to live your teaching. Do we really know that? Being mindful is one of the key practices in Buddhism. And I believe that's what Jesus is talking a lot. So, think about it, really. I bet, all of us at least have few moments, even in the past months or past week, or even past day, that we were blind. Or had the moment that I don't really like it. We have that. And I have that too, yes. And I do my self-examination and I ask myself, Junchul, why did you do it? Well, obvious, I like it. Why do you like it? It pleases me. Okay, now question. Do you think that's right? I don't know. Am I saying the truth here?
No.
Not really. You know, I do know that was not right. I do know I shouldn't have done that. Whatever that is. But I want to cover up saying, pretending I don't know. But does it really work? It doesn't. Why? Because I know. What's the point of lying to myself? There's no point. So how do we be free from spiritual blindness? Number one step, be honest. Well, you don't have to be honest to everybody, telling everybody what you have done. There'll be too much information. Right? That is too much information. You don't want to know. I don't want to know. Right? But you want to know. For you. And you want to be honest about which portion of that you are proud. For real. Which portion of that you're not. Which portion of that you want to change. You have to be honest. You. To you. And you know what that means? You're being honest at the same time to God. You know what that means? It's an open invitation to change me. That gives God power to change you. You know? That's how it works. I do not change myself. You do not change yourself. But God changes us. But God needs that invitation. Those two blind men cried aloud. And they even followed. You don't have to do that much, but you have to somehow have this open invitation in your mind. God, this is the portion I'm not so proud of. But I can't tell anybody about it because I'm shameful. But I'm honest to you. God, this is it. Help me. When that happens in your heart, see, interestingly, you feel joyful. I can guarantee that. When you do that, you feel joyful. You feel comforted. And somehow you feel God is there with you. So may the Lord bless you in your spiritual journey. And may the Lord empower you to be honest to yourself. Amen.